This is Believe in Buckeyes. This show is brought to you by Bet Online. Chim, hit him with the ad.
So we're down to the last two teams. Bet Online has been your tournament bracket headquarters all March long. And now that we're almost done with the finals, we still got a lot more in store. MLB is here and the NBA, NHL playoffs are around the corner. As always, Bet Online is the number one source for your summer sports wagering. Head to Bet Online today to stay updated on all the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here.
And if you have any issues with gambling, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're 24/7 to help you out with anything you might need in that category. But this is Believe in Buckeyes. I'm Brian Browning. This is All-American cornerback Shindy Chekwa. And we're kind of in our feelings today, man. We're a little emotional. One of our guys, one of our Believe in Buckeyes guest on the show, Daylan Hayden, had decided to enter the transfer portal in the spring window. Fantastic running back. Got it. We're sad to leave. Chim, what's your thoughts on the Hayden situation? And I don't know. Did you see it coming?
Yeah, I didn't really see it coming so much. I mean, I think it was one of the things that was kind of in the back of my mind. I know. When we had him on the show, he said, like, look, I'm here to compete and I'm going to, play it out. And I'm here to stay. Right. And that's truly what his focus was. But, man, it's just so much other things. We got running back transferring in. We got other potential running backs expected to potentially hit the portal. He didn't play a lot this past season. For whatever reason, right? And, I just wish him the best, man. He's a guy who every time he got an opportunity, he showed not only that he belonged, that he could potentially be a special back. He also wears the number 5, right? So, you know, already know that there's special in there somewhere where when you put that number on, especially with a Buckeye uniform, there's something to play for. But, yeah, it hurts me because, his attitude, his approach to the game, and his talent, to me, is something that I really wanted to see. I'm going to continue to be able to see it. It's just likely not going to be in a Buckeye uniform. So I wish him the best. The thing I think about is, at this point, why didn't he play last year? Well, even in the Cotton Bowl, there was opportunities. I know a lot of Buckeye fans were like, we need him out there. And the idea in my mind is, they didn't want to burn a red shirt so that they can give him opportunities moving forward. But at some point, time runs out.
Yeah. Definitely a tough situation. I mean, it's funny to say, obviously, he never had a 1,000-yard season. But, I mean, if he was the starter, he got the carry that he was getting in the games that we seen him play 2 years ago, even this past season. I mean, he checks that box easily, right? I mean, his production from the backfield has always been tremendous. He's a running back. I mean, he's a running back. He's a running back. Like he definitely he looks the part. The way he goes about going north and south when he has a lane, falling forward when he gets it, when he has the opportunity, taking it to the house for the long runs. I mean, he's definitely a complete running back out of that standpoint. And over the spring, he starts speaking about him improving on things about pass blocking, route running, things of that nature. And I mean, all that is fine and dandy, but I mean, he was good enough at running back, in my opinion, to always be in consideration of playing. Obviously, last year it was weird, right? We had Chip playing running back. Obviously, we had Mayan Williams in his tenure, and so and obviously the home run threat with Trevion Henderson, so he kind of fell back. But once again, that bowl game situation was just weird. We had him on the show. We were just looking like, oh yeah, this would probably be another one of your shows. With Chip entering the portal, mine declaring for the draft. So it just really be you and Trevion Henderson. And we get to the game, all we get is Trevion Henderson and Xavier Johnson in the backfield. So I mean, obviously for whatever reason, he didn't get the snaps that we feel that that he should have deserved, basically when things was clean. But now he'll be taking his talents elsewhere, and obviously we wish him well. We know he'll be successful, especially if he gets a program that lets him go north and south. And he definitely will be. He definitely is going to help out somebody's running back room.
And And the idea is, you know, you have Trevion, who's obviously a high level back, probably one of the best running backs, probably maybe one, two, or two in the country. And then the other back, with Sean Judkins, also probably one, maybe two in the country. So you pretty much have the top two or three backs in college football. But the thing that bothers me the most in this situation is that we don't know if Dallin Hayden is one, two, or three, but we know that he's super talented, and there's no way to judge a guy who didn't get the opportunities versus the guys who did, right? Yeah. And that's always tough because you can't really project what they can grow to be. And I just wish I got the opportunity to see more of him, because every time we got to see him, 5 yards plus a carry, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, 5 yards plus a carry. That means you're a high-level, highly talented back, and there's opportunities. And if you projected four, like you mentioned, if he got the carries, he'd go over 1,000 yards. So, man, yeah, this one's tough, man.
It stings. Yeah, so. that's for sure. So, obviously, we wish him well. We'll follow him wherever he goes. We'll bring that news to you guys. And I know this coming season, we'll catch him on some Saturdays and some highlights and making some things happen from that standpoint. But coming up this weekend, Ohio State, we have our spring game, man. It's a highly anticipated spring game. Whenever there's quarterback competition, it's a very highly anticipated spring game, right? But this year kind of makes it special. First time ever that the spring game would be nationally televised on Fox. I mean, I guess with our all-star roster, us, you know, winning, I'm going to say we won the offseason across the nation. More people want to kind of tune into that. What's your thoughts on Ohio State landing that national TV spot? And it being unique, does it matter? Or what's your thoughts on that situation, Chuck?
Yeah, I mean, I think it matters. I mean, I think everything matters to recruiting, but Ohio State's spring game being on national television, that means the buzz is there. That means Ohio State remains the cream of the crop when it comes to college football. And, you know, there's been some challenges, you know, losing to your rival. But even still, I mean, Ohio State is at the top of college football, at the top of the Big Ten. I don't think it's even a question whether or not they're at the top of the Big Ten. They remain there. But, yeah, I don't want to just say that Ohio State runs college football because it requires winning. It requires beating that team up north, etc. But in every other facet, the indication is there. So it's huge for recruiting. It's huge for the brand. And then with the business of college football changing, is very, very important. I think that's big time.
Yeah, and like you say, it's never been hurt. I mean, I obviously, you know, we've been around college football for a while. We know certain teams are going to be very successful going to the next year. But many of years, if you'd have told me Alabama was going to be on national TV for some window of time, it's like I'm still not catching that spring game. Like it's like, you know, it just doesn't really matter that much. But this year at Ohio State, I mean, you know, we got the quarterbacks coming in off the transfer portal. We got all the guys coming in out of Alabama who's with some kind of locked in spot, some are in some kind of competition. We got Chip Kelly offense. What that offense is going to look like here for Ohio State? What did he have a chance to get installed in the spring? And obviously, we have just a ton of guys that came back, right? All the superstars that's on the defensive line, our superstar defensive backfield. You know, it's a lot to it. So I think it's definitely a positive thing. You know, I don't see any negatives to it. So kind of get out there and, you know, have fun with it. Obviously, you know, when it comes to the spring game, it's kind of like a glorified scrimmage, more or less, right? You know, sometimes it's not really even real football. It's kind of like a game that the head coach kind of made up, the offense versus defense type of situation. But I think it'll be good to see. Hopefully, we get it nice, right? They split the teams down the middle. You got these quarterbacks here, these quarterbacks over there, and you go out there and play a game. And I think that's what the fans want. But obviously, I know in the past, Coach Day kind of does things differently. But that's what I want to see, right?
Yeah.
Split it open and get to it.
It's interesting because what's going to happen, they're going to play this spring game, and us and a lot of others are going to take things away from it, right? But Do you remember when we actually played the spring game? Like, for me, the spring game was less than a scrimmage. Like, I even the year where I had to compete for a second string spot. Coming to redshirt freshman, I'm competing to see if I'm going to be the backup to Malcolm Jenkins and whoever else and secure my spot in the lineup. It was the jersey scrimmages leading up to the spring game that was where I made my mark. And the spring game was kind of like, you want to hold your own, but we weren't running the full defense. We weren't blitzing. You know, like, we weren't doing the stuff that we could do in the jersey scrimmage. We weren't mixing it up in that way. So things were kind of limited, and it wasn't a real opportunity for the coach to evaluate me versus in the jersey scrimmage, where we're running everything, I'm blitzing, I'm doing all types of stuff. So I don't know how much that has changed, or if it's changed at all, right? But yeah, anyway, it's just interesting because we're gonna talk about the spring game, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But there is some stuff that you can.
Yeah, it's definitely some things you could take away from it. So when you just looking at players, right? I mean, obviously, like you say, what you're calling and who the competition at that current time might not be, you know, live, right? It might not be the best way to grade it. But if you're just looking at a guy and you're just trying to check a boxes on ability, right? Like, okay, what's the center look like snapping the ball? Is he getting the snap to the quarterback correctly? He's supposed to be their starting center. You know, how is he going through the mechanics of that? Quarterback's throwing the ball. You know, if he's throwing it deep, do you keep missing short? Or do you keep missing long? Is he accurate? You know, you can kind of pick up on certain type of characteristics. I remember last year, CJ Hicks in the spring game, obviously, right? Like you say, they're kind of running a vanilla type of defense. But you could see the talent of CJ Hicks when he was, I think he caught a pick in the spring game. You could just see how fast he could kind of get from sideline to sideline, which is very impressive for something like, oh, well, this is why he's a five-star linebacker. So it's the little things like that you still could kind of pick out, right? Obviously, like I say, it's not true to true. You know, a guy make a big play in the spring game doesn't mean he's the starting wide receiver, you know, just because he caught a couple fade routes in that game. But if you're, you know, keying in on certain guys, keying in on exactly how they play, how they move, what they're doing, what they're not doing, it kind of can kind of start to kind of tell a story about who that player is and, you know, maybe kind of let you know, like, you know, what can he be here for Ohio State? And but obviously, like I said, we'll see how it goes, and then we'll find some takeaways to kind of go at it from there. But I mean, in the show, like, we got a lot of competition, right? I mean, when it comes down to it, obviously, we have a lot of guys back. We have some guys come in the transfer portal, and it's kind of time for, you know, some of this stuff to kind of shake out, you know, more or less, right? You know, going in, you know, now that spring ball is over, and like, how did the guys do? Did someone earn a spot? There's several spots that's, you know, up in limbo. Like I stated before, the quarterback position, you know. So obviously, at the quarterback position, we had a big acquisition in the transfer portal. We had Will Howard come in out of Kansas State. We have Devin Burn the Boats Brown, who's been taking, it looks like, a lot of first team reps, and him and Will have been switching there. We have Leakin Cleanhouse on the roster as well. We know that he was a favorite today. They, you know, he used to go out his way to bring him up. And now we have Julian Sain that's on the roster as well, transfer over, and he's been pretty impressive as well. Yes, we don't talk about his often. Yes, he had his black strip removed, which don't mean a ton for us, but it does show that, you know, he's been doing the right things, and some of that things you hear about him that is actually is kind of standing out to the coaches and the team. So first off, this quarterback position going into the spring, what's your thoughts on it? What do you feel we're at? And what are you looking forward to seeing in the spring game for that position to see if you can maybe make some type of evaluation on, you know, who's running the show right now?
Yeah, so I had one question going in. So when they got Will Howard out of the transfer portal, I went and watched, you know, a lot of his film. And I thought, you know, decision-making for the most part was solid. Footwork was good. Some ability to escape and run the ball was good. His operation was clean. The one thing that was hard for me to really get a read on was his ability to push the ball down the field. And I attribute a lot of that to Kansas State's receivers who didn't appear to be able to get a lot of separation. But now I've been to only one practice. And obviously about outside of that practice, you know, a lot of what I see from the quarterbacks is just stuff that pops up on social. But it does feel like Devin Brown is making all the deep passes. Like, it's like, my goodness, like every time there's an explosive play down the field. I saw Will Howell throw a wheel route to the running back out of the backfield, but it wasn't really like, it was like a blown coverage. It wasn't, but like all of the deep passes to the receivers pushing the ball down the field, it seemed like Devin Brown's making all of them. Now, I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. Because one, I'm only talking about the stuff that I saw, right? But I do think, you know, I came in initially saying, okay, it's going to be hard for Devin Brown to compete against a guy who's put out so much game tape. I mean, it's not the game tape that just shows that he's by far the best quarterback or anything like that. But when I watch Devin Brown and how he plays in my mind, what he could potentially develop to be, is a guy like Will Howard. Like, the way he plays. Now, that doesn't mean he can't be better or whatever. But just the style of play seems similar. And they clearly got Will Howard for a reason. It almost feels like Devin Brown is competing against who the coaches want him to be, right? And that's the challenge, because you can only do it in practice and they can't actually see it in games, but they saw the other guy in game. Mm-hmm. This is why I think the spring game does have value, as you mentioned, with the quarterbacks. It's seeing Devin Brown in a game-like atmosphere on national television to be able to transfer what we've been seeing in practice to a game-type situation. We like the way he talks. We like the way he competes. We like everything, but the one thing that is still a question is when it comes game time and he has to drop back and throw the ball, does he do it with confidence? Does he have a clean operation? And that's still a question mark. And I think, you know, based on how he's been playing so far, I think he might have a shot. I think he has a shot.
Yeah, I mean, really, I have to agree. I do agree. And obviously, I think that's more of the standpoint I've been on. Like, going into it, I wasn't the huge Devin Brown guy, right? It just felt like the other quarterbacks had more experience. You know, we were talking about last year in the competition he was having with Kyle McCord. I was like, well, you know, if no one's separating, just go with the guy with the most experience. You know, he's just been there longer, right? Type of deal. Now he's that guy. He's the guy with the most experience at Ohio State. And if Will Howard hasn't done anything to come in and say like, wow, like, you know, he's tremendous leader, you know, far better than we thought we was getting out of Devin Brown. He's making all these plays, you know, throwing the ball. And it's always tough to evaluate a quarterback, especially if you're a running quarterback, because, you know, come down to it, you can't run in practice, right? You know, you got that guy's kind of tagging off. So you don't know if he was going to run over that guy and get an extra couple yards, or was he going to actually, the move he tried, was it actually going to be successful? You don't know, because, you know, defense is kind of, yeah, I would have got him, you know, type of deal. And, you know, they kind of go to the sideline. So it's kind of get tough to evaluate. But I feel like Devin Brown is doing everything he can to show that, hey, look, I understand this competition here. I understand that we brought this guy in. But I'm just going to keep being me. I'm going to keep doing the right things. I'm going to be a leader on the field, off the field, in the media. I'm just going to go out here and be my best self and let the chips fall where they may. And obviously, you know, when it comes down to it, I feel like with the way he's going, if he keeps going this way, come Saturday in the fall, he's did the job enough that they're going to have to give him some type of opportunity. So when it comes down to it, he's a scholarship player. He's been there. You don't want to set some type of precedent as from Coach Day that, yeah, once we bring a guy into the portal, you might as well get into the portal because, you know, you don't have – there's no opportunity for you here anymore because we done brought this guy in to kind of in your position. So you got to let it play out. You got to, you know, let the film kind of tell the story. And you can pretty much kind of take it from there. So I feel like Devin Brown has obviously been checking a lot of boxes, been doing a lot of right things. And I look for him to kind of continue that into the spring show us operation, get in the, and I say the huddle, but get his guys lined up, get things correctly, get the ball going to the right places, as in, you know, live with that going into fall camp and kind of see how things go.
Yeah, but he can't edge him out. He has to beat him. Like it's like you're fighting the champ. And I'm not saying Will Howard is the champ or anything like that, but the challenge, yeah. I always go back to, the challenge is they know who they're getting in Will Howard. Maybe they can learn some more being with him every day and whatever. But they know, they're fairly certain who this guy is. Devin Brown has to show them that I am clearly better than what y'all have seen. And it's hard to do in practice unless you're throwing touchdowns. I mean, if you're throwing touchdowns, you're getting explosive plays. That's enough to tell a coach, like, look, we got to put this guy on the field. Because if he's creating explosive plays, we're winning football games. And it's really that simple. The other guy could be doing all the right things, but this guy is pushing the ball down the field. We got dogs on the outside, and he's getting it to him, and that's what he's going to have to do to win it. And he's going to have to do it in the spring game. He's going to have to do it over and over again, so the coaches is like, look, we're going to win with him, we're going to lose with him, but this is the guy, because his upside is up enough that, you know, we're not going to go with the safe pick. So I'm interested to see how this quarterback.
And it's funny enough, obviously we like competition, but if you know, if you're Coach Day, you're Chip Kelly, you want to know who that starter is yesterday. Like they don't, like, you know, it's nice and fun to compete. Everybody, you know, bring their best game, but they want to make a decision that they can feel comfortable with and sleep with at night. So we'll just kind of have to see if anything is said from that standpoint. Another position group for, so I guess 2 years in a row, the offensive line. A lot of competition around the offensive line. Obviously, we are returning. It's funny because we're returning four starters on the offensive line, but there's still like a lot of competition around it, right? So we have Josh Simmons at left tackle, who seems to be pretty set in that position. Left guard, Diamond Jackson, he most likely definitely set at that position. But then things kind of become a little bit question marky from there. So at the center position, we brought in Seth McLaughlin out of Alabama, who's a starting center for them. Obviously, our start center is back, and Carson Hensman, he's kind of, you know, he's a start center. But there's some competition at that position. Our right guard, we did lose to the NFL draft, so there's legit competition at that position. Who's going to fill in, take over that role? But then Josh Fryer at the right tackle position, we understand that there are still some competitions there, even though he started at that role all season last year with Tegra Shibola at that right tackle position, question marks, questions there. Luke Montgomery at the right guard position. Going to his second year, but a lot of buzz, a lot of good things being said about him as a player at Ohio State on the offensive line. And then also the player who started in the bowl game at that right guard position, Enoch, I'm going to push his last name, but Mahi, at their right guard position, is also in competition for it as well. And you had a funny take about this, right? You know, we always, a lot of people like competition. But give the people your take on the offensive line and what's your thoughts on how things should be going at this point.
Yeah, well, my take is simple. I love competition. I'm all a fan of competition. And last year, there was competition. And we were like, shoot, it's going to shake out. You know, the cream rises to the top, and we'll be rolling. Except the offensive line struggled. And honestly, I don't want the same thing to happen this year. And I am not, you know, I'm not giving the benefit of the doubt that, you know, they're going to identify the right guy and make things happen. I saw the bowl game. It was one of the worst offensive line performances, and it wasn't the entire offensive line. So that right guard, to me, that right guard position, I would rather them identify who they want. Is it going to be Fryer? Is it going to be Luke Montgomery? Is it, you know, like, identify who that is. Because the shuffling around, the uncertainty, I'm not, you know, I normally I would say great competition is a good problem to have, et cetera, et cetera. But they need to hit the ground running. And I don't want to see, you know, what we saw in that Cotton Bowl again, or what we saw to start the season last year.
Yeah, and I had to completely agree. I mean, obviously, it's it's funny enough, you know, former players, obviously, if you, as you guys could imagine, we have group chats and we kind of talk. We might not talk for years, but if we get to the game, everybody's kind of like, man, what's going on with it? And yeah. I mean, I, on the offensive line of fronts, like, we just had a lot of questions about, you know, essentially what was going on. Like you said, especially when it came down to that bowl game, just like it was a lot of this uncertainty, a lot of things going on that you just really just cannot explain. There's a lot of missed blocks, a lot of guys running into the backfield to make a play. So, yeah, it's almost like at this point, it's like, yeah, let's not have so much competition on the off the line. Let's just go with a little bit of coaching, right? Yeah, let's coach. Like, so, if the decision is to move Fryer to guard and you want to play Tegra, do it. If the decision is, you know, you want Luke Montgomery at right guard, put him there till he essentially just shows and proves that he cannot do it. Or, you know, whoever's at that center position, do that. And maybe if you lose that center position, you go to right guard. Make the decision. Go with it so they can kind of get it done as a unit and improve. Because it's different. I mean, I wasn't the most talented guy. So when you're at a position, it's different techniques to getting these things done. Everyone is not Paris Johnson, right? Paris Johnson, we would ever take him, a known offensive tackle, plug him at guard, let him play, and he did a fantastic job. Most people cannot do that, you know. And you need to kind of be in your position so you can learn how to get everything done, these positions, these blocks on these plays, and that's to kind of master it to take it into the season.
And yeah, and so I go back to that bowl game. Why didn't Dallin Hayden get an opportunity to play? Because the talk has always been, you know, and some of it came from him as well, where he wanted to improve in pass blocking, improve in catching the ball off the backfield. But pass blocking couldn't have been the reason why he didn't play. Because you know, what we saw from the offensive line was much worse than any running back could have done. So I don't want to see a repeat of that. I don't ever want us to be comfortable enough. You know, this guy's been doing well in practice, et cetera, et cetera. Let's put him out there in the game. Let's reward him. That's not a reward. Like, putting a guy out there and having that result is unacceptable. So let's not do that anymore. We saw we've seen enough. Let's get a guy that we trust to be able to play that position, and let's get them ready for the season, man. We got too much firepower on the outside. We got too much firepower at running back. We have a quarterback that there's some unknowns, and honestly, man, Kyle McCord got a lot of flack or whatever for his play. I thought we did him a disservice last year by not having a strong run game to start the season and not being really solid up front to support a first-year starter at a quarterback who didn't have a bunch of escapability back there in the pocket, right? I think we did him a disservice, and I don't want to see that play out again.
Yeah, and I obviously I would just have to agree for the sake of time. We always could talk about that, but for the sake of time, this I agree 100%. But also, we're going to have some competition at the will linebacker position between – it's really kind of, I don't know how it's going to go, but you know – that C.J. Hicks, Sonny Styles are kind of going to kind of battle it out. I imagine we'll see both of them when it comes to the season. Tight end positions, competition there as well. G. Scott Jr. has been in the longest. We did bring in Will Karsmak out of Ohio, out of transfer portal. Jeremiah Thurman in the tight end position, so he's kind of young there. So it's kind of, you know, unknown who will be the starter. I imagine G. Scott would be able to hold it down in certain situations. You put a bigger guy out there for running situations. It says some competition at wide receiver. It's just too many guys. We can kind of name them all. I'm sure that they'll be able to kind of figure out how to get Jeremiah Smith. I mean, more competition out there.
Smith is starting. I don't care what the depth chart says. I don't care what the depth chart says. He could be fourth or fifth on the depth chart. He's getting targets. Yeah, you know, there's too many social media shots of him jumping up and catching the ball with his one hand. He's gonna get targets. The myth of Ballard,
Jaden Ballard.
The myth of Jaden Ballard continues. I'm not sure if he gets the opportunities, but every time we see him in the spring game, practice, whatever, he's catching some long, deep ball, running past guys. But he just might be a legend. He just might, you know, there's been some guys that have just been legendary in terms of what they can do, but we actually don't get to really see it in live action. So, I don't know.
We'll see. Emeka Ibuka, Carnell Tate, those guys will be out there. Young guys, Brandon Ennis, Bryson Rogers, been making plays as well. So you know, we got just good problems to have right there at that wide position, wide receiver position. But yeah, that's kind of, you know, what we're looking at going into spring. Obviously, it'll be an exciting time for us to go out there and actually see the guys, you know, put on the scarlet and gray, go out there and compete. So next show, we have our recap of the spring game and, you know, kind of go over what we see. But that's our show for today. Once again, this show is brought to you by Bet Online. You can follow us on all the features of Spotify, iTunes, YouTube. Feel free to reach out to us. We'll reach back out to you. And that's how we like to end our show with a nice OH.
Ayo.
Go Bucks. And we'll catch you guys next time.
Go Bucks.